What's Trent Brown?
We're going to put him on IR today. I think we had 2x1, so if we didn't, he'll be on him tomorrow. So we're going to shut him down.
Was it some of that requires surgery now or later?
Yeah, that's with those shoulder injuries, you don't really know. And some people, you're supposed to give it some time, which we have. You'd like to give it more because you'd always like to avoid surgery. The risk is though, the longer you wait to see if you end up needing it. Even though it's not a huge injury, it's a huge recovery. I don't know. I actually don't want to say it that way. They're all pretty big injuries. But sure. Shoulder injuries take a while to recover. So once we decide we're going to go that direction, the sooner the better.
Is it a torn labrum?
I can't say specifically. That's not my expertise. I'll mess it up. I think something with his labrum.
So he tore it in that Thanksgiving Day practice. And then did it get worse when he played against the Bears a couple weeks later?
No, it didn't get worse, but it just didn't go away. Sometimes the pain goes away with those and it ends up being okay. Some guys have them early and they never get them fixed in their career. Some guys need to right away. So we went with it for a few weeks hoping that would be the case. And Trent hasn't felt that way since the Chicago game. So it's time to shut him down.
Zane Beatles in line to start then?
Yep. Yes, same deal as last week.
What kind of confidence do you have in him and how he's adjusting to playing on the edge now?
I know Zane. Like, I have a lot of confidence going to games with Zane because the game's not too big for him. If we sit there and put him on an island all game, just like any person, they'll struggle. But Zane, we know we're going to get from him. He's going to play as hard as he can. Nothing's too big for him. If he gets beat, he won't shut down. He'll come back the next play and go just as hard. So I have a lot of confidence going to the games with Zane. They got good players and a good scheme. From their edge rushers are good. Morgan and Rack, and then their inside players are good too. They're built for the run and the pass. So I've spoke about Casey all week. He's been a very good player for a number of years, and the other guys there are good also. So when they do blitz, their schemes are tough to pick up, and it's a very sound scheme in the back end also. So they can beat you at every position, and they keep coming.
Edge players, you can do different things to chip them or slide a running back to their side. When you have someone on the interior like Casey, are you just limited to double teaming him with your inside players, or are there more creative ways you can
it depends what kind of fronts and stuff they're playing. When you play a four down team, and you have a good inside player, you can always turn the center that way. So whichever guard's going against that matchup gets help. When you go against a 3-4 team, if you want to do that, then you got to ask your halfbacks to block the outside linebacker. So let's say if J.J. Watt was healthy last week and we really wanted to help inside and slide our guys to J.J. Watt to help the O-line, that'd be fine if we thought our halfback could block Clowney. So that's – which he couldn't, and neither can a lot of people. So that's the issue of a 3-4. Can your backs block those big stand-up guys? And most of the time they can't, which presents issues everywhere.
Well, I ask this because NFL players play through all sorts of injuries and often hailed, and we appreciate him doing this for us. Is there, so maybe this is a stupid question or callous or whatever, but is there any sense of disappointment that Trent couldn't play through his injury?
Not disappointment in him. I'm disappointed in that he doesn't get to play with the team for these last, three games, four considering last week, because I thought he was making a lot of progress. And, I think Trent has a chance to be very dominant at his position. And I think he made huge strides this year. By no means is he fully there. But I think he had a much better year this year than just watching him on tape his previous 2 years, especially last year, because I know he played the most last year. Trent tried to battle through it, came back for a game for us versus Chicago, helped us win that game. And then, Trent's a very important part of this place in our future. And, when you're talking about a 5 to 6 month injury, that's something we want to get going as fast as possible. So I fully support his decision.
How about Akello?
Akello will be a game time decision along with Maven, both of them. Kello had the tweak in the game on his knee. Maven had a tweak in practice. We went pretty light on them both today. We'll end up making that a game time decision.
What did Maven tweak?
His calf. Uh, Yeah, I mean, I think it's just made us adjust throughout the year. You know, it's put more pressure on other people, you know, throughout the, you know, we had a lot of guys go on defense, you know, you start on offense and we'll put in Pierre on IR, you know, I think put a lot more pressure on a lot of other guys who hadn't done it before. You know, Pierre was really our only guy who had truly started in this league and had that success. You know, put more pressure on Marquise. That's why guys like you've seen Bourne step up. That's what gave Murphy an opportunity to come back here and make some plays for us. You saw it throughout the D-line. We've put a number of guys on IR, and we also were missing a number of guys for a while. So you've had to rotate a bunch of guys in. I think the biggest negative guys going on IR, besides losing those people, is just you get better when the same guys play week in and week out. And when a group of guys struggle together, if that same group is out there the next week, they have a chance to improve. And I think we went through a span where it seemed, you know, each week there was just a different guy here and there. And I think that kind of put us on hold for a little bit. But I feel kind of this last month or so on the continuity has been a lot better. And I feel that's why we've gotten a little better each week. And the more you can keep those same people playing next to each other, the more it helps.
Daily rack or rank in terms of kind of the guys you've crossed paths with during your career at that position, and then alternatively, the intangibles that he brings to the locker room and how important is he just comprehensively?
Joe's been great. You know, I had a very high regard for Joe before I got here, just from watching him on tape and knowing people have coached him in the past and what they've told me, and he hasn't disappointed at all. He's exceeded expectations. Comparing him to people in my past, he's right up there, and it's probably as hard of a position for me for someone to be compared to. I've been very fortunate with tackles, just from Dwayne Brown to Trent Williams to Joe Staley. It's been very good. And Joe Thomas also, you know. So I've had a good group there, and Staley has been right there with those guys.
Players were saying after the Giants game, I think it was, that on Saturday night, Joe had some words for the guys in the hotel. I know he's not normally a rah-rah guy, more to lead by example, but is that true? And what did he say, and was that something that, you know, you listened to with open ears?
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, Joe, I don't think Joe's a funny guy, and he's got a good personality, but I don't think he loves to sit in front of a room and talk very much. I remember when I asked him to, he almost had a panic attack. No, I'm just joking. But he thought about it for a while, and I think he ended up enjoying it once he did it, but when guys like that talk, it doesn't totally matter what they say. It could if they really mess it up, but people have such respect for guys and what they see. And what they see is that guy's whole career and what he's done and how good of a player he still is. And when he has the respect that he does, what he's done this year, battling through injuries, you know, rushing so fast to get back when we were an 0-9 team, and you know, we thought we were going to miss him for a while with his broken orbital, and he only missed one game. And for people to see stuff like that, and they have so much respect for him, and then when a guy like that gets up and talks, people really listen. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but we won that game. And I think that has a lot to do with it. When you have people like that talk, people want to hear what it is. And there's very few people in a locker room that demand that attention, and it's truly out of what they've done in their career.
Didn't mess it up.
What's that?
He didn't mess up.
He did a good job, real good job.
One of the storylines for us this week is, you know, these last three games, you know, playoff teams, like in the Niners show. Have you broached out with the team, or is it just one week at a time, Tennessee?
No, I did, actually. I thought I'd said it was a pretty cool opportunity that, you know, we got three games left in this year. We all know after that third game, the season's over. We don't have a chance at the playoffs, and you know, to be in this situation, I think it's pretty cool that we're playing against three teams that are all fighting for everything. All three of these teams are fighting for buys, they're fighting for divisions, wild cards, and possibly not to even make the playoffs. And I really, on Wednesday, tried to stress to our team, anybody who's been in that situation, they know the intensity of those buildings and how much I try to explain to them. Every time I've coached a team that we're in a hunt for the playoffs and stuff, when you get up there and you just look at a team and you start to coach, like, every person is just locked in, looking at you right away. They're writing everything down. I mean, people are playing for their lives. And I told them we're going to get that from a team on Sunday. And I think it's pretty cool for our team that I want us to have that intensity every time we line up. That's why I try to say they all are the same. And you don't want to overreact and make things more than they are. So if you look at every game like that, it gives you a chance to be successful. And you know, our goal and what we expect is to be in that situation next year. And I'd like that not to be our first time in that situation. So I don't see why our team can't treat these three games as if we're playing for our playoff lives too. And we're going against teams who have to do it. It's going to be a huge challenge. They're going to fill an intensity from these teams, especially Tennessee on Sunday. That's probably a little more intense than what they felt from other teams throughout this year. And I expect us to be the exact same way and to learn from that. And hopefully we'll be in that situation next year and it won't feel like the first time we've been in it.
You talked about Jimmy taking risks with some of his throws earlier this week. And is that sort of, you know, making those throws into traffic, whether he's dealing with pressure or whatever, is that the cost of are you willing to live with some of those things if it means, like, that play to Lewis Murphy in the Chicago game? If are you okay with those type of things happening, knowing that there could be a big moment where you need a play like that?
Yeah, definitely. I like when people do that stuff and it's real. And what I mean by that is they're not just guessing and throwing it up in the air, you know, 500. You know, they see something and they let it rip and they don't hesitate. And not what you think you saw, you didn't always see. So when you do that, you do make mistakes. But those to me are usually the great ones. It's if you see stuff and then you think about it and then let it rip, the holes have closed or you've gotten sacked by then. So I think that's why you see a lot of real good quarterbacks go through times in their year where they have some bad games and they throw a number of picks. And it happens to most of them when they are younger. And then some of them can't handle that and they don't want it to happen again. And so they get gun shy and they don't let it rip. And then eventually they had a lot of potential and now they're a backup or they're not what everyone thought. And then you have some guys who come out, have some big games, have those four pick games, go back and watch the tape. They can remember why they thought it was open. They see on the tape, they see why it wasn't open, and then they don't make that mistake again. But when it comes back and they know something's there, they still let it rip and they don't hesitate. And those are the guys to me who end up being good. I want guys who let it rip and who aren't scared to fail, but I also want guys who decide on whether it's a good throw during the play, not Wednesday when we put in the play. Because you have guys, sometimes it comes in Wednesday, and they're like, oh, I'm going to throw that deep one right there. It's like, wait a second, let's see what they're playing first, and then let it rip.
There are a lot of quarterbacks who would take a conservative approach and, you know, be super risk-averse in the way that they play. How do you balance that when you're evaluating some of those situations?
The most important thing to me is people who process and how quick you can see it. And I don't look at it as, hey, it's time to be aggressive. Hey, it's time to be conservative. I look at every play the same. You make the right play. If that guy's covered, we have a very process of where we look. Whether it's play action, we're starting deep to the top level. The safety's deep. We're going to the middle level. If the linebackers are under it, we're going to the third level, the back in the flat. It's the same way with dropbacks. If a hook defender takes it away, you've opened up another hook to another curl flat. It's like filling in a puzzle. And I want guys to find the open piece in the puzzle and not hesitate and let it rip. I don't see it as risky or being conservative. I see it as doing your job to the best of your ability.
Eric Morgan in this game, do they move around to the other side?
They haven't. They pretty much line up in the same spots all the time. Sometimes in third down situations and stuff, you can get them in different spots, but you pretty much know where they're lining up.
Last one.
If Maven and Witherspoon both can't play, what do you do? So it's Hall and Johnson, and then do you have to?
Yeah, we'd have to bring a corner off our practice squad. We got two on it right now. That's the decision we'll have to make before tomorrow. I think the deadline's one, so we'll probably end up having to do that. We just finished practice, so I'm going to figure out how healthy these guys are. I know we took a light with them today, and I know we won't know for sure till Sunday what direction we're going to go, so we'll probably have to activate one of our two guys in practice squad. I believe it's one, but don't quote me on that.